I'm Holly Braddock, registered nutritionist, nutrition nerd, and chocoholic. I use functional nutrition to help motivated women go from surviving to thriving so they can experience massive shifts in mood, energy, and productivity. Achieve deep healing and reach your highest potential by ditching the diet and tuning into your body's needs. This podcast brings you actionable tips on how to optimize your physical and mental health. I pick the brains of female entrepreneurs in the KW wellness community so you can get empowered to take charge of your health and love your life. Hey guys, today on the Mindful Vitality podcast, I interviewed Kim Holmes, a multi-passionate entrepreneur who dabbles in a little bit of everything. She's a personal trainer, group fitness instructor, freelance writer, social media manager, and mom, just to name a few. Follow along as Kim and I both share about our mental health journeys and how movement became medicine for us. Kim shares more about her postpartum struggles and how she took her mental health into her own hands. We also touch on how fitness is really just movement. Movement is truly for everyone. You don't have to be doing intense boot camps or sports in order to benefit. So join in, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Mindful Vitality Podcast. Today I'm here with Kim Holmes. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Kim is a multi-passionate entrepreneur who dabbles in a little bit of everything. She's a personal trainer, group fitness instructor, freelance writer, social media manager, podcast host, and a boy mom, just to name a few. She loves nothing more than introverting with a book and a cup of coffee, and she's a sucker for ice cream of any kind, and has a passion for 80s and 90s pop culture. Amazing. You can follow along with Kim on her Instagram. It's at MyFitCoachKim, and her website is MyFitCoach.ca. Thanks again.
Awesome. For joining us. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. That was a real long bio.
It looks short when you write it out, but it sounds longer.
I know. I was writing down all the things that I'm doing right now, and I was like, wow, yeah, all right. No wonder I'm tired.
Yeah, you are very multi-passionate, for sure.
Yeah, we like to do a little bit of everything, and I think that keeps life fun rather than just being all one thing, you know?
Oh, for sure. I do a lot of that myself.
Absolutely.
So tell me a bit about, like, how did you start to make the connection between your own mental health and the power of movement?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I think for me, you know, growing up, I was a pretty active kid. I played a few sports, you know, dabbled in a little bit of, same thing there, a little bit of everything. I was kind of like a Jack or Jill of all trades and those things with sports and so on. And that, you know, as a kid, cool. But I think, you know, getting into my 20s or the years sort of after high school, when maybe you're not in those extracurriculars anymore, mm-hmm. where movement and activity isn't a part of your everyday life. And not to mention, like, now you're in the real world and trying to figure out your own way in the world. It's a very stressful, anxiety producing time. And so I started to notice when those things were, I don't want to say taken away, but maybe just naturally not scheduled into my life, that I began to struggle. Mm-hmm. I definitely started to struggle with depression in my teens, maybe in like the formal sense, which I don't even know what the formal sense would be. I've always been an anxious individual. My mom would tell you that I had like anxiety as an infant, just really anxious and just a very worried person. Yeah. And so, you know, you become a teenager, you get into your 20s, and the world is a really scary place as you're starting to navigate all of this on your own. And I started to notice when that movement piece was taken away, oh geez, yeah, I was struggling more. And it wasn't until I kind of got into my 20s, I joined my first gym. And I started going to the group fitness classes. And back then it was very much like old school, right? Old school aerobics and I was like, this is amazing. I love it. I started to notice my mood improve. And over time, I started to make that connection that when I did those things, I felt better and everything else kind of around me worked better. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the first time that I made that connection. And then, you know, gosh, life goes on. And that was in my early 20s. And then when I got into my 30s and I had my kids, definitely noticed a major connection there as well. Like so many women, having babies turns your whole world upside down, makes you question everything. and in my case, it brought me to my knees emotionally. I don't know whether we call it postpartum depression, we call it depression, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I was down. I wasn't well, especially after my second son was born. And being at home all day long with two little tiny people, especially in Canadian winters, not feeling like I could get out of the house. Right? Like it's a very isolating time. Even if you don't have kids, living in Canadian winters, and we'll talk about our current state of the world living in COVID-19, where we're very isolated. It's a very, very challenging time. And so I saw this, I recognized this in me. I recognized that I needed to move. And for me as a fitness professional, movement is just sort of like an extension of myself. So I did start to kind of dig out and I would start to create little workouts that I could do at home, maybe with the babies. I would give a kid an iPad if I needed to, just to get that movement. And that was my lifeline. And then from there that evolved into me teaching, you know, mom and baby fitness classes for a while in the community. And then that led me to creating my Just Sweat program, which is my online fitness program, so that, you know, women like me and all of us can get those workouts at home when they feel like they cannot get out into the world.
Yeah, I love that. It's so key. I mean, you touched on a few points there where like I went through a bit of my own struggle, like very similar where like depression, anxiety was kind of always there, but like really ramped up in my 20s, especially with school being so stressful and a lot of pressures there. And yeah, for me, I did end up doing medication, but even with the medication, I found that it only kind of brought me to this level where I was stable. I wasn't fully like happy and joyful. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, like, I never really did sports growing up. So I wasn't, like, my sister was the active one. I did some dance and stuff and swimming, but it wasn't until, like, I had one boyfriend who was very much into working out and he started dragging me to the gym. And that's where I got into like working out more. And I'm like, holy crap, is this how everyone else feels? Like when you have that, you feel so good after, it's like this high, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it got me really hooked on it. And not that I like only work out at the gym, obviously these days I don't, but I very much like in the summertime, love getting outside and hitting trails and stuff too. But anything movement is like a huge source of like mental boost for me.
Mental health is so important, but what do you do when medication or counseling just isn't enough? I am all about holistic mental health. There's so much more to mental health than just the basic medications and counseling. I share in this episode about my journey and how I found medication and counseling useful, but there was so much more that I needed to fully feel happy and joyful and feel myself again. And that included major changes in my lifestyle, optimizing sleep, balancing hormones, managing stress, and optimizing my gut health. But where do you start when there's so much information and you feel overwhelmed? Step one, find out if it is burnout that's contributing to your health issues. Go to the link in the show notes and grab my free burnout questionnaire. Send me your results and we can have a quick chat about them. And then step two, it's not too late to join our burnout challenge. It's going until this Friday, April 10th. The link is in the show notes and I hope you'll join us in the Facebook community.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you touched on, like you touched on something interesting when you're like, my sister was the active one. And like, I didn't really do sports. And so, I mean, I'm grateful for me that I did those things because I think that that allowed me to grow up as an adult who did those things too. But I also think that it's important when we look at, like, you know, the kids growing up in this world now, that we aren't pigeonholing them and being like, oh, you're the active one, or you're the one who does sports. Yeah. And maybe showing them other ways that they can use movement in their lives. And even as grownups, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear from people like, oh, I'm not athletic, I could never do your workouts. And I'm like, people, do you have a body?
Yeah.
Then this workout is for you. Like, it's, I don't think we need to pigeonhole ourselves into being like, I'm athletic, and so that's why I work out. Like, no, if you have a body, let's move it. And you deserve to feel great. So let's do it.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I mean, I guess there's a differentiation between working out and like moving your body and, doing sports, right? So like some people, like myself, like I tried, but I definitely was not like able to like be good in sports. And I was like, you know what? That's okay. Like I embrace, like I'm more of an artistic person, but as an artistic person, I can still find other types of movement, like video workouts or yoga or hiking, whatever, like I enjoy, and whatever I enjoy, I'm going to do that. I don't have to do this X, Y, or Z sport.
You don't have to do something that you hate. Why would you do that? Life is short, man. Do what you love. Move how you like to move. And I think I wish that that message was something that we could deliver to everybody. And I guess in a way, that's kind of what we're doing today, is just how do you like to move? What feels good to you? I know oftentimes people will come to me running for whatever reason, or like those hardcore boot camp classes. Like, that's cool. And like, I like those sometimes, but most people see those and go, oh,
yeah,
that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
And that's so me. Like, right. Okay. So, and what do you love to do, out of curiosity? What do you love to do? What kind of movement?
Yeah. Mostly like trails, nature trails for sure. And dance. I've been doing some online dance videos lately. I tried to get my boyfriend to do one with me the other day. Kind of like, it was hip hop, but it was also kind of sensual, and just as his hips, it was really funny. I'm like, it's so easy, it's just like this.
See, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Why would you not do that? Why would you take that away from yourself and be like, oh, I suck because I didn't run? Instead, I did this because I loved it and I enjoyed it and I felt those feel-good endorphins. And so I'm like, yeah, do the dance.
And you're that much more likely to stick with something and make it more of a habit or routine if you actually enjoy it rather than
100%.
It's like punishment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear a bit more about how exercise helped you postpartum. So I think a lot of women struggle with that.
Yeah, gosh, I could talk for hours on postpartum exercise. For the record, I did a lot of the wrong things in terms of like what I did postpartum physically. I've learned a lot more now. Gosh, my youngest is only 8, but I mean, even 8 years ago, there wasn't as much discussion around pelvic floor health and recovery there. And I definitely went back into things too hard. That being said, I think what I did do well is that I went back into it little by little, and I just made, I can remember some days being at home and saying to myself, okay, like just move for 20 minutes. And oftentimes that would be picking up a baby, doing squats, holding the baby, doing push-ups, giving the baby kisses, like just focusing on movement. So I think that's what I did really well. And I made use of whatever resources I had. My goal was just to move. If it meant my own body weight in the basement while I held a baby and the toddler was on an iPad, cool. Yeah. But ultimately, like, it was, and I talked to so many women about this, postpartum, it was my lifeline. And again, that's why I did, create the mom and baby classes. I'm not teaching them locally anymore. That was a hard decision to step away from, but I think I did it for 5-6 years. I'm not sure. And honestly, my motivation behind it was more that, like, can I create this place, this where these women can connect and have this little community and move and laugh at the same time and not feel bad if your baby's crying or if you have to stop and breastfeed for a second while everybody's doing lunges. Like, it was lovely. Yeah.
Amazing. So I'm curious to know, like, in what ways did you feel like you were doing something wrong, or like that you were too harsh on your body?
Yeah, for sure. So to get into more specifics, I do, it's so embarrassing, but I'm very honest about, you know, what I did and with the information that I knew at the time, I did the best that I could. Mm-hmm. So after baby two was born, I, like a lot of moms, was determined to get my baby body back, which, by the way, that term just now I'm like, I'd be lying to you if I said that I didn't want to look and feel a certain way. So I did what I always did, which was find a race, or some type of race that I could train for and start to get back on track. And I signed up for a half marathon, and I ended up doing it when my son was, that was after baby one. Baby one, I did the half marathon. I think he was about 8 months old.
Wow.
I don't recommend that. I definitely felt things in my body that I knew were not right, but I didn't have the tools or the knowledge to know that I had some pelvic floor issues at the time. Let's just go there. And I knew something wasn't right in my body. I remember asking some friends, like, is it normal to feel? And they're like, I don't really know. So now I think that's why I'm so passionate about it now, because I was really ticked when I found out, hey, I had this, 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 and this. And nobody told me, but you know, I didn't know either. So now I spent quite a few years trying to educate women around that. And it's still something that I obviously, you can tell, I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
Hey, being like, no, don't run right away. Slow it down.
Yeah. Do a little rehab on the pelvic floor.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I love that there's so much more resources and knowledge out there these days. Like, I haven't had a kid yet, but I had never heard about that stuff before either. And being in the wellness industry, I think I would have come across something like that before. But, and then all of a sudden, like in the last year or so, it's just exploding everywhere on social media. Like, so many people specializing in it. And I love that we're empowering women with this knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, like I said, I was pretty ticked that I was like, here I was, a fitness professional, and I had taken courses on, you know, postnatal fitness and things like that. And they weren't discussed. Or if you go on Pinterest and you type in body after baby, ooh, I wouldn't do 90% of that. I mean, maybe now it might be better now, but, the stuff I see out there is really scary. And, so talk to someone, maybe, a fitness professional or a pelvic floor physiotherapist or someone who really knows their stuff. There's so many people now out there.
Yeah.
Life has been pretty chaotic lately and a lot of big changes. If you're super stressed and it's coming out as irritability with your partner, lack of patience with the kids, insomnia, migraines, emotional eating, and maybe more wine than usual, let's talk. Your mental wellness is always my top priority. It's truly the first thing I start with when I work with a client. Because let's be real, when you're feeling down or stressed out, the last thing you want to do is have a big old salad. There's so much we can do with simple changes in your lifestyle, your diet, and supplements to optimize your mental wellness. And I've had clients see huge differences in as little as just 1 week. If you want to find out how, book a free 20-minute call with me. The link is in the show notes.
So what would you say is like the biggest myth or misconception about fitness and movement?
There's a lot. There's a lot. Yeah, I think for me, I think one of the biggest myths or misconceptions, or maybe it's just a way of looking at things. If I could clear up one thing, I think it would be that fitness is only a tool for changing your body. It's only a tool for vanity. I think most of us start working out or doing maybe formal exercise because of that desire, right? Because we're like, oh, pants are getting a little tight. Or I think that's the reason most of us start, and maybe I'm wrong, but I know, gosh, that's it for me and most of my clients. And I'm not here to like knock that. That's like, I get it. We live in a culture where that is big. Mm-hmm. That said, my motivation for what I do has changed so much over the years as my own relationship with my body has changed. And at this point, I really am so much more passionate about teaching women and men too, everyone, that movement is such a powerful tool. It's a tool for improving and boosting and sustaining your mental health. And in addition to that, can we talk about injuries? Like, yeah. I'm a busy lady. You're a busy lady. I don't have time to be injured. And when I take care of my body with regular strength training, it doesn't have anything fancy, but just hitting the spots that I need to hit, I don't get injured. I'm strong. I have muscle. That's going to boost your metabolism. We can go there if you want to, but that is the biggest myth, is that it's just this, like, I get emails from people all the time that are like, I hate my body and please help. And I look terrible. Please help me. And I also recognize that I want to help those people so badly. And I understand that thought process, but if I could, I just wish maybe in 10 years, maybe in 100 years, that we could shift that a little bit.
Yeah, that's so true. And part of that too, I mean, boosting self-esteem and confidence is huge for me and my motivation, but also, I mean, you guys can't see me in this, this will be a podcast, right? But I'm a very petite person because I didn't do a lot of workouts growing up. I don't have a lot of muscle mass. And from what we learned in school, especially about aging, we know that we lose muscle mass as we age. And all it takes is, if you're someone with low muscle mass and you don't work out regularly and you're, you know, say 40s, 50s, and you're starting to have those hormonal changes and you fall and break something, that's kind of all downhill sometimes, right? So you really have to, for me, it's like a preventative thing. I don't want to be disabled in my older years. I want to be able to be independent and travel and do all the things I want to do. I don't want to break a hip or something.
Right. And I feel like that's something that we will never, like, you're not going to feel that way when you're like 18. You're just never going to think about it. I didn't. I was like, hold on, when is bathing suit season? Okay, cool. I think that that's something that we have to come into on our own. I think we all have to have our own evolution. But I think it's something that, I mean, I tend to really love, like, my in-home personal training clients are all women in their 50s and 60s, and that's what they care about. So I really align with that. I'm like, cool. Yeah. They're really happy when they can go to the airport and they can carry their luggage, like, up the stairs. Like, they're super excited about that. And that's what I love too. So it tends to work really well. But I think, like, you're not going to feel that way when you're 18 or 19, but you'll get there.
Yes.
Exactly. But you'll get there.
Oh man. So if someone is feeling stuck when it comes to movement or struggling with their own mental health, what would you say is step one? Like, where can they get started?
That's tough. Okay. Mental health. If you're really struggling, number one, this is a get in touch with your medical professional person, first of all. I'm not here to dole out any medical advice, and I know you're not either. So please, always, let's take that seriously. Mm-hmm. Call your doctor, your healthcare professional, please. And here's the other thing too, is when you are truly clinically depressed, the last thing you feel like doing is moving. And so I want to acknowledge that. And so, you know, to that person who's at home who literally just can't get off the couch, I think the challenge is really quite simple. It's just get up, get off the couch, walk around the block. That's day one. Maybe day two, you walk around the block and go past one further house. And it's just day by day by day. Have you seen the movie, Brittany Runs a Marathon?
No.
Have you heard of it? I think that's what it's quite funny. But it's also quite a good story, because it's a woman who's really quite depressed and just sort of at a really awkward stage of life. And she makes the decision to run a marathon. And it starts with her just going out one day in, like, her street clothes. She's just like, just forget it. I'm going right now. And she, like, opens her door and runs out onto the street, just wearing whatever she's wearing. She doesn't have the proper clothes, and she just starts running. And then the next day she goes a little farther. And I was like, yes, this is this.
Yeah.
And I think that when you do those things, when you get up and you move, you're absolutely right. It builds confidence. It's for me, every time I do a workout every single time it is a confidence booster. Mm-hmm. If I'm having a gross day and I'm like yesterday was a tough day. We're in COVID-19 times and I'm stuck at home all day working with two little ones.
We're trying to work with the kids.
I am trying to work. And so far I feel like I should touch wood right now, but we have not been interrupted. But yesterday was a hard day and I made the decision. I was like, okay, I'm doing something. And when I was done, I was like, yeah, like, look at me. Look at me go. I got this. And then that translates into, then I'm like, okay, cool. I can make dinner, right? Like I can do the podcast. You
know? It completely shifts everything. I had a day like that the other day and I was, I always like start working as I'm eating breakfast, which I should take my own advice and like not jump on right away. Anyways, and I was working for a while and then I got into this funk and it started getting like stressed and overwhelmed. And I said to myself, okay, you know what? You need to just stop and you need to go outside and like move your body, because you know, as soon as you do that, everything's going to shift and your day is going to be that much better. And sure enough, I was like so much more productive and like with it in the afternoon because I had a good walk. So,
but isn't that the hardest thing? Like, I think I know that, you know that, we all know that. Like you don't need to be a fitness person to know that, okay, cool, we take a short break, we move. Everybody knows that you'll come back more productive, but it's really hard. Like when you are in the middle of a task and you're, you know, just getting going, it's really hard to be like, no, stop, get up, move. That's a really hard step. Yeah. And I think we need to acknowledge that it's not, even for me, I think people assume that I'm always peppy, always want to work out. I fight it every day. Mm-hmm. I fight it every day. I haven't done my workout yet today and I'm going to think about it and like kind of stress about it a little bit. And then when it's done, I'm going to go back to that feeling of like, wow, look at what I just did. Look at me go. But it's really hard to take that first step. Shut your laptop, whatever it is that you're doing, and just say, no, it's time.
Yeah. I kind of want to circle back to what we were saying about like, what's the first step with mental health. And obviously, like you mentioned, like seeing your healthcare professional, but in terms of what you can do yourself, I think working with a practitioner who's taking a holistic approach, like this is why it's always the first step for me with someone, rather than launching in and being like, here's your meal plan, never eat sugar again and do these workouts and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, obviously, because I've been through depression myself, I'm like, if this person's depressed, they're not going to do any of that, right?
Yeah.
So, and I don't want them to feel like overwhelmed or judged for where they are, because a lot of us, myself included, will like do things like comfort eating when we're depressed, right? So that's always my first step with someone like that, is to figure out exactly what's going on and create like a really basic, simple kind of initial protocol, to whether that's supplements or, you know, getting them some other kind of support with counseling or whatever it is, to just get their mental health to like a stable level. And then only once they're feeling better that way do we try to take more steps with their health, because it's all baby steps and you can't 100%. Start the baby steps until you're stable. So,
and thank you for bringing that up, because, and thank you for acknowledging that. And I think this is why, you know, it is helpful sometimes. I know that our struggles, our personal struggles, can be really hard to talk about, but I think that's what makes us better practitioners and health and wellness professionals, is that we get it. And you go like, if I am down and out, you're telling me to cut sugar and like completely out of my diet. Like, sure, it's great. Yes, but I'm not there yet. And so for meeting people where they're at and saying, I recognize that you are not at the place where you can do X, Y, Z yet. So let's get you there and provide that support. So thank you for bringing that up and for having that approach. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything else that you wanted to add before we kind of wrap up here?
So much. I think really just, if I could leave people with one note, it is that if you have a body, you are able to do some type of movement, and please be grateful. And I think remember that it's a gift. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute gift, and to treat it with care. If you've ever had an injury or a time where you couldn't move the way that you wanted to move, gosh, do you ever feel like moving then, right?
Yeah.
And so, I just want to remind people to make movement happen, but again, don't overthink it. as much as I'd love to give you the guidelines of like how much we're supposed to work out, I think if you're not currently someone who is doing a form of movement, find one that you like to do, mm-hmm. get it into your life a couple of times a week. Gosh, if you get 10 minutes one day and that's all you can get, fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
But just keep it going and you will see and feel the results over time. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to just let everyone know where they can find you online.
Yeah, of course. So currently you can find me, I think I'm on Instagram the most at this point. It kind of used to be Facebook. Now I'm definitely on Instagram a little more. So at MyFitCoachKim mm-hmm. is where you can find me there. And then you can check out what I'm doing on my website. So myfitcoach.ca, but truthfully, Instagram right now, that's kind of my place. That's kind of where I'm at and where I'm hanging out the most. So feel free to shoot me a DM there, say hello,
perfect.
And see what I'm up to.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining me today. I really enjoyed hearing your wisdom and your story.
Thank you so much for having me. My pleasure to talk about this anytime.
Awesome. Well, have a good day.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Hey, if you have 30 seconds to spare, if you could leave me a rating and review in your podcast app, I would greatly appreciate it. It helps women just like you discover my podcast and start their own healing journey. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next week.